genre. You may be seated. I would really hope that everyone can follow along in these scriptures and try to make sense out of what is taking place here tonight and why it's taking place. Because of the great plan. If you have your scriptures, I'd like you to turn over to Genesis 1. This, of course, is Yahshua's memorial. It's a plan to try to save the universe. Not just try, Yahweh is going to save the universe. He created an atonement, which is Yahshua Messiah, who he actually brought down 4,000 years of a breeding plan, teaching plan, and for one man who he named Yahshua to live without sin. And why? Because it all has to be done. It's all got to be done through mankind, through the Son of Man. And of course, Yahshua is the Son of Man. Even though the churches try to lie about this, he's the Son of a man. It had to be that way because Yahweh says he's going to make man. He didn't say he's going to make angels, as they call them, or Malachim. He's going to make man into his image, like him. And mankind is going to save the universe. Now, you've got to get this in your mind and see what's taking place here. If you look over to Matithiah first, I think it's Matithiah 5, in verse, I think it's verse 17, but we can plainly see here that there's beings out that would like to destroy the whole universe because of their hatred for Yahweh and wanting their destructive way of life. But at Yahshua, in speaking here in Matithiah 5 and verse 17, he tells you, don't even think that I've come to destroy the law, because that was what was being taught at that time, that there was two laws, one written by the prophets, the other one was handed down orally, which they changed, disagreed on, had 99 different interpretations of each point of it. But he said, don't even think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. Then he says in another place, you're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. I have not come to destroy them, but to establish them. For truly I say unto you, unless heaven and earth pass away, notice that, because that's exactly the plan of Satan, to try to destroy heaven and earth, at least the earth and the parts of heaven that actually control the earth. If you go back to Genesis now, Genesis 1, I've shown you this before, but try to get it in your mind tonight to understand why Yahweh created Yahshua. And in the same first book of Genesis, in showing his plan to save the universe from the darkness that we see in verse 1 and 2. Chapter 1 of Genesis, in verse 1 and 2, he says, in the beginning Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. Then the earth became without form, empty, and darkness. That word darkness, of course, means led astray because of false doctrine. Yes, this took place before mankind was created. It took place with the beings that Yahweh had already created before mankind. But they were led astray because of course, lust. It's a necessary thing to have lust, but lust that we allow to control us instead of us controlling it gets out of hand, takes your body down, and causes harm to everyone around you. It also causes hatred, bitterness, which brings forth war, as the Apostle Jacob showed. But then Yahweh started creation for man. We see this in verses 3 and 4. Now, the Catholics teach that there's discrepancy here in the creation plan. But there's no discrepancy if you understand what Yahweh is doing. He first created the earth and let others who would not follow his laws, who fill the heavens, take over the earth, and we see some of the results of it today. Science sees it. We have skeletons left from their destruction that took place here on this earth, but you can see that they were led astray. It means misery. This word darkness means misery, death, destruction, ignorance, wickedness, and sorrow. Well, of course, Satan would like to bring that same thing here and destroy mankind. Well, here in verse 3 now, he said, Yahweh said, then let there be light. After the darkness upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of Yahweh hovered over the face of the waters, and Yahweh said, let there be light. So he starts creation again. And then verse 26, he said, I will make man in my image, and I will give him authority. To which of the Malachim did he say that? None. He never said it to the Malachim. Let's go over to Romans. Now, we see this a lot in the writings of the apostles. And, of course, Romans is one of them. But Romans, the 8th chapter. The Apostle Shaul was inspired to write. This was no surprise to Yahweh, as you can see here. He wasn't saddened by mankind going astray. In fact, it had to be that way to prove his point and to set up a program here of a 6,000-year program to actually save mankind and save the universe. The day you will love Yahweh the most is when you see the final destruction that mankind, through sin, is bringing about. Sin, no matter what the size, it will lead and grow, and like leavening, which we are expected to put out of our houses, it spreads throughout the bread until the whole loaf is leavened. And Yahshua brought this out. Just a little bit, any little bit that is allowed in your life will spread, not only through your life, but it spreads to others. But here in Romans 8 now, if you'll notice verse 20, he says, for the creation was made subject to emptiness. That's vanity in the King James Version, made subject to vanity. Word there, reference to, I believe, if I can find it here quickly, emptiness, you see that word in Genesis 1 also, unsuccessful, searching for joy and peace. Now, Cain got into this trap, and of course Satan pulled Cain into it, as she does today with their search for what we see right here. This word means for joy and peace. In today's increased knowledgeable world, the people who work in the stores tell us, they didn't tell me, they told some others that went there for certain things and some supplies, and the people said, we've cut back 80% on those supplies because people don't like to move. They like to sit and watch gadgets today. And of course, they're trying to find, they're searching for joy and peace, which Yahweh offers, but you must work at it. And Yahshua showed you how you must work at it to get it, to obtain it, to obtain the joy or rejoicing that we will see if you will devote your life to it this feast. You will see that you will love this joy and rejoicing that is going to take place at this feast, the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. Well, he says, we were made subject to this, not willingly, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope. So you were made this way, not by you being willing to be made this way, but Yahweh was willing that to make you this way and to let the suffering take place to prove to heaven and earth, as I've brought out many times, to prove to heaven and earth what it brings and what the end result will be. He says, verse 21, because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty by the children that Yahweh is creating in his image. Did you see that? You're part of it. In fact, you're prophesied in Genesis, the first book in your book of Yahweh, you're prophesied there. This last day's work, along with your atonement, who now sits at the right hand of Yahweh after all the suffering that he went through on this night about 2,000 years ago. For we know, verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning. Speaking now of the heavens and the beings in heaven, the Malachim, the families that live there, but are going through the same hell that is going on this earth right now. And of course, the hatred and bitterness is growing. So is knowledge and the creation of weapons growing. Yahweh keeps it somewhat under control, because if he didn't, the whole planet system would get out of control. Instead of working like a clock, it would be working like Japan right now. Right now, it moves like a perfect clock because Yahweh set it to be that way. But with the wars that are taking place, Yahweh knows that it could be destroyed if he allowed it to be so. He's not willing that any should perish, but he wants to bring peace and joy and rejoicing to the whole universe. Life, eternal life. Verse 23 says, and not only they, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly, as we wait eagerly for the adoption, the redemption of the body. That is the body that Yahweh is putting together. Creation that he made subject to vanity. Yes, he made you where your lust can get out of control. He made you where you have to make a decision as to what you want to do with it. Let it control you or you control it. Yeah, and Yahweh's plan was life, he says, for those who would choose to stop sinning, confess, repent, and convert. Confess, repent, and convert from the darkness shown now in Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. Look back to Acts, the third chapter, and we see this here, and we see how mankind fights against this way of Yahweh, as Cain fought against Abel, as Satan is fighting continually against Yahweh, as his sons rebelled against him, his first sons, not created in the image of Yahweh, but created nonetheless. But here in Acts now, 3 and verse 19, he says, "Repent therefore and be converted," which means you can repent and you can convert. It's possible for you to repent and it's possible for you to convert if you believe without seeing. And of course, in this time period, I brought out many times that this is a must for you. You must believe without seeing. I've prayed that Yahweh show you no miracles. I've prayed that Yahweh will let you experience and see what sin brings. I don't want to lose one of you, not one single one of you, but you won't stay unless you can believe without seeing and believe what is taking place in the world and believe that Yahweh prophesied that it would and that there's going to be an end of it. Very strict end. If you look, hold your place there in Acts and turn over to Titus. Titus 2, and notice verse 11. "For the love of Yahweh," this is found on page 941, Titus, very short book, but Shaul said a lot in this book, this letter that he wrote to Titus, "For the love of Yahweh that brings salvation has appeared to all men." He's talking about the teaching, of course, of the teaching of the prophets that's been written for mankind, which shows the love that Yahweh has for man, but also has for the universe, and how he's worked to bring forth peace to the universe, teaching us that by denying holiness, that is rejecting, denying means rejecting, refusing the peaceful solution, character education, refusing to put it to work in your life, holiness and worldly lust, we must live soberly. Denying unholiness, not holiness, but denying unholiness, that's what we've got to do, and worldly lust, we must live. Now remember, this is the vanity that Yahweh created in us, searching for peace and joy, but following the wrong path to get to it. So if we start denying unholiness and worldly lust, we must live soberly, righteously. Righteousness, don't forget, 1 John 3:4 is the breaking of Yahweh's laws. 1 John 3:7 and 8, "Don't let any man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. He who practices keeping the laws of Yahweh is righteous." That's the one that finds joy. And in holiness in this present world, expecting the blessed hope and appearance according to the plan, notice the plan of Yahweh here, expecting this of our great Father and Savior Yahweh through Yahshua Messiah, which is our atonement that he created. Took 4,000 years to create Yahshua into his image in a breeding teaching program. Verse 14, "Who gave himself," Yahshua gave himself. So he showed the love of Yahweh here when he knew what was going to take place this night 2,000 years ago. He knew how the Pharisees, called Catholics today, have their rituals that they follow against anyone who practices the laws of Yahweh. They still do it today, and they follow those laws. You would be dead right now, brethren, if it wasn't that Yahweh had protection over you at this moment. We would all be dead. But Yahshua knew they were going to hang him on the wood, bind him to the wood where he would die. That was a prophecy back in Genesis, and then again in Exodus, brought forth as a lamb, as we'll see here in just a moment, who gave himself. He allowed this because of the love that he has for you and the body that he is building right now in this house that we're sitting in right here, that we're all sitting in. He gave himself on our behalf in order that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Iniquity is pushing aside Yahweh's law, following the lust, hoping to find peace and joy. Now that's what I've shown you so far. Following lust instead of the word of Yahweh, instead of the word of the priest, following lust that would lead you to searching for peace and joy outside what Yahweh says will bring you true joy. And when you go that route, then it builds. And it builds to what we're seeing today in nuclear bombs. Now, it's done this in heaven. It did it on earth before. Yahweh then recreated the earth and the heavens that control the earth. Then he created mankind and said, now I'm going to make beings in my image out of the sons of men. Redeem us from iniquity, that is doing away with the law, might purify a special people unto himself, his own possession, zealous of righteous works. Speak these things and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Permit no one to despise you, he's saying to Titus. Now, 3 and verse 1, he says, remind them to submit to the priest, that is the rulers, the priest, and authorities to be obedient, to be ready for every righteous work, to speak evil of no one, not to be brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness to all men. This is the example that Yahshua set, by the way. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived. Yes, when you follow any way except the way that Yahweh says, the way that Yahweh says has been proven. This is the only way that's been proven to bring peace. It was proven here on earth. In the days of Solomon, which Yahweh brought together from Israel, from a stiff-necked, rebellious people, but through some righteous priests, and in the days of Solomon, Solomon not only had peace, but all the nations around him had peace. He took tribute from all of those nations willingly. They actually willingly gave Solomon tribute from the righteousness they saw in that kingdom. But that is the only kingdom that's ever brought peace to the earth. The rest of it has been fighting bigger weapons, building bigger weapons, stronger weapons. Retaliation. Verse 3, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts. In search, remember, in search for peace and joy. It's not there. It's not there, but it is in what Yahweh tells you to follow. And pleasures, notice, pleasures. Living in malice, envy. If you just think of what goes on or what went on in your mind before you started overcoming, these things that he's talking about right here, you had in your mind, pleasures. Instead of seeking Yahweh's joy, you were out seeking pleasures, which led to sickness, disease, confusion, bitterness, hatred, divorce, remarriage, divorce, and then, of course, fighting and wars. Living in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of Yahweh, our Savior, toward man appeared, he saved us, not outside the work of righteousness, which we had done, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Remember the Holy Spirit, Yochanan 6:63 says, the words that I speak, the laws and the prophets, they are spirit and they are truth that will lead you to joy and gladness, abundant living, which he abundantly poured out upon us through Yahshua Messiah. That is his teachings, Yahshua's teachings, our Savior. That being justified through his undeserved pardon, we might become heirs. Remember, the wages of sin is death, but Yahshua, being sinless, was able to die and pay the debt of sin for us, so we would not have to die the eternal death. Being justified through his undeserved pardon, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the trustworthy saying, and these things I want you to assert vehemently in order that those who have believed Yahweh may be careful to practice righteous works. These things are righteous and profitable for man. But avoid foolish speculations, genealogies, contentions, and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and pointless. A man who is a heretic after the first and second warning, reject. Know that he who is such is subverted, has turned away from Yahweh, and sins being condemned by himself. Go back to Titus again, chapter 2, and look again at verse 14. Who gave himself on our behalf in order that he might redeem us from all iniquity and might purify a special people unto himself, his own possession, zealous of righteous works. Now keep that in mind. Go back to Acts again now. Acts 3. Acts 3. We read 19, but let's go back up to 13. The father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the father of our fathers, glorified his servant Yahshua, whom you handed over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to release him. However, you denied the Holy One, the just, and demanded that a murderer should be released to you and kill the Prince of Life, whom Yahweh raised from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. Did you get that? Of this we are witnesses, that they saw all of this take place. And his name, through the faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you did this through ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which Yahweh foretold by the mouth of the prophets, that Messiah must suffer, he has fulfilled this. Yes, the Messiah suffered this night. He was beaten. He was spit upon. They couldn't have done more than they did to that man this night. And he willingly went through that. If you just put yourself in his place, even being arrested, put yourself in that fear once again. And know that this man willingly did this and went through it, knowing what he was going to suffer, yet he did it, showing his heart is here with you right now, as Yahweh's heart is here with you right now. Praise Yahweh. So he says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. They won't be blotted out unless you do. That times of refreshing, that is joy and gladness and abundant living. If you want to look that little scripture up right there, that word in the original Hebrew, may come from the presence of Yahweh, and that he may send Yahshua, the Messiah, who was preached to you, whom the heavens must retain until the time of the restoration of all things, about which Yahweh spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets since the world began. The prophecies that we're actually living right now, since the world began. Let's go over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. This was a prophecy about Yahshua. I hope you remember the prophecies in Genesis 49. that we have expounded for quite some time now. As you read this one here, and knowing that Yahshua willingly went through, it was prophesied that he would. His whole life was prophesied, as ours is today, and the work that we are doing here today, that Satan is trying to stop. Yahweh says he will not allow it. But Yahshua said, if she could, heaven and earth would pass away and the law would disappear. He knows that no one would teach this law and stand up for it, except it be inspired by Yahweh, as it is right now, into you, brethren, right now in this generation. Yahshua knows, he knew that if this work of Yahweh disappears, then it would revert back to what we see in Genesis 1, 1 and 2. And eventually the universe would be destroyed. That's what Yahweh is saving, the whole universe. And he's going to do it through the Son of Man. And you are the remnant of the sons of men that Yahweh has chosen to bring you here to be this great body that Yahshua is so pleased with at this time and looking forward, and the whole universe is looking forward to seeing this because they want it stopped too. It's like the people that's looking on the Catholic Church right now, and somebody said today, they know, everybody knows that the Catholic Church is evil and everything they have done is evil, but they're afraid. They are afraid to do anything about it. The only reason you have courage today in being here is because Yahweh gave it to you. Praise Yahweh. Well, Isaiah 53 now, Isaiah 53, and notice verse 1. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm, that is the strength of Yahweh? If you remember Malachi, the fourth chapter, and Matithya, where Yahweh says, where Yahshua said, if you will believe it, this is. The laws and the prophet is the strength of Yahweh, as said in several places. So to whom is the strength of Yahweh revealed? For he will grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He didn't hold an outstanding position in the world. In fact, he was despised, as verse 3 said. He is despised. He's hated. He's worse than Al Capone. He's the most hated of all the generations in this time period. Yeah, I'm glad of it too. Praise Yahweh. Never thought I would ever be glad of being hated. But I know we're fulfilling the prophecy. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows. You know, this same prophecy now fits us also, as is shown in Zechariah and also in Isaiah. The man whom the world despises is speaking of somebody here in this room right now. A body of people in this room. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by Yahweh, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This shows you how relentless Yahweh is in following his plan. They call him the relentless judge. Yes, he is. He will not turn one bit, and he will not accept you unless you become like him, a ruler like Yahweh. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way or lust, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb, get this, as a lamb, don't forget that, to the slaughter. We'll cover a lot of that in this feast. As a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison. He was arrested, put in prison, and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. But he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet his bruises pleased Yahweh, for he was put to much grief. And now he has brought the offering for sin. He will see his seed, that's us. He will prolong days, and the pleasure of Yahweh will succeed in his hands. He will see the labor of his soul, which he's working at right now with you. By his knowledge, his righteous servant will justify many. He's the firstborn of the Son of Man, firstborn of many brethren into the Yahweh family. For he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he will divide the plunder with the strong. That is strong in Yahweh's laws, because he poured out his soul to death, And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. If you think about the hatred that is shown here for him, and then you know the hatred that we've experienced here in the house of Yahweh since the house of Yahweh was established, you can see how right these prophecies are, and you have a place, brethren, in the one and only house of Yahweh in this time period. Praise Yahweh. Now in Matithiah, let's go to Matithiah, the 26th chapter. Matithiah 26, and let's start here with verse 6. Now, when Yahshua was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar, a very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw this, they became indignant, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? This ointment might have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." But Yahshua, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you distress this woman? For she has done a righteous work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this expensive ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this message will be preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial." Memorial. It would help if everyone knew what memorial meant in Hebrew and in English. Let's go now to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and notice verse 23. Everyone pay really close attention to this right here, because Shaul, like Yahshua, is trying to get you to see the character that's got to be developed in you, and it's nearer to the finishing, it's nearer to perfection. I would say that after tonight and after this feast is over, if you practice what you learn here tonight, you will be ready for the kingdom. "For I received from Yahshua that which I also delivered to you." So Yahshua taught this before the apostle Shaul, that Yahshua Messiah, on the same night now, in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this represents my body, which is broken for you." This was before his death now. "This do in memorial of me." The word remembrance there, if you look it up, it means memorial. Memorial. You need to get that word in your mind from the Hebrew and, of course, from the English today. "In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup represents the renewing of the covenant in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in memorial of me.'" Memorial. The reason I keep pounding on that is because this day is a memorial. The day. Not a meat, not a piece of meat, but the day itself is a memorial. And people get it mixed up all the time, and then they let Satan pull them off away from Yahweh's work and house. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show Yahshua's death until he comes with this memorial. Therefore, whosoever will eat this bread and drink this cup of Yahshua unworthily." Well, what does that conjure up in your mind now? Unworthily. And what do you justify? The fact is, The very fact is that Yahshua shows us, all the apostles and prophets show us, that this means without a humble, repentant attitude. Hold your place there and go over to Luke, where he says it the best, Luke 18, where the Savior himself says it the best, Luke 18, go to verse 15. Now they also brought infants to him that he might touch them, but when his disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Yahshua summoned them to him and said, "Permit little children to come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." That means children are in heaven. Children are going to be in heaven of the sons of men, and children are in heaven of the sons of other beings at this time. Verse 17, "Truly I say to you, whoever will not accept the kingdom of Yahweh like a little child will certainly never enter into it." Now, if you get what Shaul said here, unworthily, and you put it together with what he received of Yahshua, a little child, if you notice how they get in your way all the time, wanting to do what you're doing, wanting to be a part of the work, you should rejoice and let them, in fact, encourage them a lot. That's what Yahshua wants. And that's what he's saying in you. Be a servant. Like this little child will be guilty of the body and blood of Yahshua. He says, but let the man examine himself. Do you have this humble, repentant attitude that Yahshua showed to the apostle Shaul? And so let him eat that bread and drink that cup, but also know what you've got to repent of and do it before you drink it. And ask Yahshua to forgive you. Ask Yahweh to forgive you through Yahshua. For he who eats and drinks this unworthily eats and drinks damnation, not discerning the body. If you get it, he said the whole thing right there at the last. Get your mind off of yourself and on the body that he has created here, he has brought together here. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would examine ourselves with repentance, we would not come under judgment or condemnation. But when we are judged, we are chastened, disciplined by Yahweh, that we may not be condemned with the world. Now, if you're condemned with the world, you're part of the world. If you're part of the world, you're following your lust away from what Yahweh has told you you've got to follow here. You're seeking pleasure. You're seeking joy outside of the way Yahweh says is the true joy. And it is the way of the world, brethren, is just running to and fro, one instrument after another to play with. Spending money on things they don't need, it would never bring them joy. In fact, they're dissatisfied after a few days of this so-called joy. But notice now, verse 32 again, but when we are judged, we are chastened or disciplined by Yahweh, that is his counselors, his priest, those who take it seriously as coming from Yahweh, they humble themselves and repent. Those who don't could eat this unworthily, that we may not be condemned with the world. Here's the great one. Look closely at verse 33. Therefore, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Well, that means stop, don't it? Stop and wait for somebody to catch up, right? No, that's not what it means. Let me read you what it means. Wait. You know what a waitress is? That's what the word means. to serve as a waiter for tables, to serve at meals, to be ready and available to serve at meals, to attend as a servant, to supply the wants or the needs as it should be. So the Apostle Shaul said here, therefore, my brothers, when you come together to eat, be ready, as he says down here, concerning the body in verse 29, the last three words, not discerning the body. Well, you need to discern the body and be ready to serve. Get your mind off of yourself and be ready to serve others. 6 days you can pamper yourself. Just pamper yourself all you want to. But when you come together in Yahweh's house, practice being a servant, and you will find joy. Some of my greatest joy at one time was cleaning commodes and cleaning the kitchen where the college students ate. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you do not come together into condemnation, and the rest I will set in order when I come. Let's go over to in Mark 14. Look at Mark 14. Remember, this night is between you and Yahshua. And if you don't have this humble attitude, please try to develop it tonight in thinking about what Yahshua went through for you. The man really loved you. His heart is with you right here this night. But he suffered 2,000 years ago. He suffered death. But he suffered death 1,000 times before he died. In verse 2, Yahshua took bread. And as they ate, Yahshua took bread, he gave thanks and broke it and gave to them and said, he was waiting on the tables right there. He was working as a waitress right there. Take, eat. This represents my body. This do in memorial of me. This day shall be unto you a memorial, Yahweh said, to our fathers when he brought them out of Egypt and saved them from the gods and showed his power over the god. This day shall be unto you a memorial. This do as a memorial. It says remembrance. The word, if you look it up, it means memorial. If you look at Mark 14 and verse 23 now, 23 and 24, he says, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank all of it. For he said unto them, this represents my blood of the covenant, which is shed for many. You turn to Yochanan 13. Now before the feast of Passover, notice before the feast of Passover, when Yahshua knew his hour, that means time, had come, not hour as 60 minutes, but his time had come, that he should depart out of the world to the Father, he knew the prophecy that said he would sit at the right hand of Yahweh until Yahweh makes his enemies his footstool. His enemies being, of course, the powers of the nations that we will study more on in the feast, during this feast. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil already having put it into the mind of Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray him. Satan will put many things into your mind, but that doesn't mean you have to obey. You can say, get behind me, Satan. I'll do what's written in Yahweh's word. Yahshua, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he had come out of the Father and was going to the Father. He got up from supper, laid aside his tallit, then he took a towel and tied it around himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, again, being a servant to his people. He says in the kingdom, he's going to come forth and feed us. Remember that. A waitress. Praise Yahweh. And to wipe them with the towel that he had tied around himself, he then came to Simon Kepha, and Kepha said to him, "Teacher, do you wash my feet?" Yeshua answered and said to him, "What I do, you do not now understand, but you will understand afterwards." Kepha said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Yeshua answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Kepha said to him, "Teacher, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Yeshua said to him, "He who is washed, cleansed, purified, has no need to wash except for his feet, but is clean all over, and you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. That is why he said, "You are not all clean." After he had washed their feet, he put his tallit back on and sat down again. Then he said to them, "Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and leader, and rightly so, I am. Since I then, your leader and teacher, have washed your feet, have become a slave, a servant, a waitress to you, you are also bound in obligation to become a slave, a waitress, a servant to one another, and wash even one another's feet. For I have given you an example, not just in washing feet, but a humble servant attitude, that you do as I have done for you. Truly I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his ruler, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you understand these things, joyful, joyful are you when you do them." The one sent and the one who sent him. The one who sent him is a servant to the one he sends. That's Yahweh himself, brethren. He was a servant to his people on the first Sabbath day. Praise Yahweh for that knowledge. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, let's start with verse 63. We see several things, if you'll notice closely what he says here. He says, "Now that the men who held Yeshua mocked him and beat him, and when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked, saying, 'Prophesy, who was it that struck you?'" Now, of course, there was a hatred here at this time against the prophets of Yahweh. In fact, it seemed to be so much of a hatred that they were willing to kill anyone they thought that was a prophet who used the name Yahweh, and they would try to forbid. They was trying to forbid that name, and if you notice the word blasphemously, it means concerning the name of Yahweh. So they knew that Yeshua was a prophet of Yahweh, and they blindfolded him. Then they struck him, punishing him, beating on him, and many other things they blasphemously spoke against him, speaking against the name, as was prophesied in Daniel, that they would do. If you turn back to Mark now, the 15th chapter, Mark 15, and let's start with verse 33, Mark 15, 33. "And when the sixth hour came, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. From around noon till around 3 in the afternoon. And at the ninth hour, Yeshua cried with a loud voice, saying, Ella, Ella, lama azabatani, which is being translated, my strength, why have you forsaken me? Then some of those who stood by when they heard this said, Behold, he calls Eliah. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it for him to drink, saying, Leave him alone, let us see whether Eliah will come and take him down. This was some of the foolish things that they like Christianity today, that they have in their minds, that they think is going to take place or would take place, not knowing anything about the resurrection or the plan of Yahweh. Then Yeshua cried with a loud voice and died. This, of course, was after he had been beaten all night. I beg you on tonight, brethren, to let this night be between you and Yeshua. And, of course, remember the woman who set an example for us to follow, as well as that of Yeshua Messiah, who set also our example. Keep this in mind, too, throughout the feast. Tomorrow is the day for getting leavening out of your house. There's a lot of leavening, I noticed, hid in a lot of different things this year. If you would think, for instance, hot fries, which was supposed to be potatoes. If you watch for things with one of the five grains, remember, one of the five grains, that's what you make bread from. That and getting leavening out. And if you'll remember that, you can kind of judge as to what needs to be got rid of. If you're in doubt, get rid of it. Anyway, whether you know it or not, if you're in doubt, get rid of it. But from bread comes five grains that you can make bread out of. And if it's made from any of them, you don't have to have baking powders or yeast, you can use eggs and whip it up and make leavened bread out of those five grains. They do this with pastries a lot in Israel, and they sell what they call unleavened cake, but it's not unleavened. You can look at it. You can look at bread and tell it's leavened. And I don't mean little air pockets that bubble up because of steam, but if you'll break it, its yeast will form its leavening evenly throughout the bread, so you can tell the difference in it and steam pocket. Anyway, get rid of the leavening, and if you have any doubts about something, the prepared foods. If you bought prepared foods and brought them with you, then look at them closely. If they got one of the five grains and if they got even air pockets throughout, you'll know it's leavened bread. May Yahweh bless you. And if you'll all stand